Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word, and Miss Brown Sugar. And as always, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Also, you want to holler at us, you can jump into the chat room. You can go to smoothdrama.com. Jump into the anonymous chat room. Myself, Ms. Brown Sugar, and a whole cast of our Smooth Drama listeners, chatters, go in there. You can be anonymous. You can spit your game however you want to spit it. If it's Monopoly, boom, you can spit your Monopoly. If it's Payday, you can spit your Payday. Trouble, whatever. Scruples, whatever game you ready to play, we got that. It's on.
That would be fun, though, if we could do that.
I know, huh? You got to work on that. Get our digital display a little bit tighter. Anyway, social media. If you want to get at us on social media tips, wherever you find Smooth Drama, add us. We'll add you back. Specifically on Facebook. Look, not Facebook. Facebook. It'll be Facebook here in a minute. We'll be talking to folks on Mars.
I was going to say, that's a new one.
Yeah. So Facebook, the Smooth Drama group, myself and Mr. J, he of the Cro-Magnon Man gene. He will add you. He don't know what it means. He don't even care that I did that. So myself and Mr. J, he of the Cro-Magnon Man gene, will add you to the Smooth Drama site. Well, Smooth Drama group. I'm all over the place today. Whew. Mm. It's the apocalypse. It's the apocalypse, baby. Yeah. It's the apocalypse.
Okay, baby.
Yeah, it's got me. I'm going back to New Orleans. What's up, baby?
Exactly. That's what it came off as. That I felt that draw.
That
southern
draw. I don't use it a lot. I don't use it. It's like
you don't.
I get back home. Then what's up, baby? How you doing? Yeah. Anyway, it's Tales from the More Scrumptious Apocalypse. And I did notice something, Brown Sugar, and I gotta say,
have you noticed?
I got 99 followers, but a bitch ain't one. Where my dogs at?
Oh, what? No bitches in there.
I got 99 followers, but a bitch ain't one.
A bitch is no bitches.
No bitches. Where are my dogs at?
Dang.
Hey.
That's crazy.
I'm talking about where are my dogs at? My dogs ain't out here. Oof, oof, oof. Ain't no barking, none of that.
All right, Arsenio.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. You know, I was getting ahead of myself because there's a guy. You remember Willy Wonka?
Of course.
Yeah. So, guess what? There's a Japanese billionaire, Yusaku Mazawa. He's inviting the public. He's looking for 8 people from around the world to join him on the moon voyage.
A moon voyage?
a moon voyage.
All right.
Yeah, I want people from all kinds of backgrounds to join. It'll be 10 to 12 people in all. And he's inviting 8 people to come along on the ride. So, ladies and gentlemen, the program, I believe, is SpaceX Starship Rocket. And he plans on doing his mission, private mission around the moon in 2023. So, if you're interested, I would look into that and see how I can get on.
Okay, I'm confused though. Like, how are just regular people just going outer space now?
What? What? Who says you can't?
I mean, well, for one, there's money involved, and I thought you like had to go through like years of training, not just like a few months.
Oh, okay.
I thought a lot of them like trained for years.
All right, I'm gonna start off. I'm going to restart my sentence again.
Okay.
Japanese billionaire.
Okay, he has the money.
Yes, he's got the money. So he's bringing 8 people along for the ride. It's going to be 12 all in all. So I'm going to take a guess. The other 3 people that are coming are astronauts.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
And so we got a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Tell us where you're calling from and what we can do you for.
Don't worry where I'm calling from, but your facts are all wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't know how y'all get on the radio talking that junk.
Oh,
really?
Oh, so now you decide to show up when I call you Cro-Magnon Man. Okay.
I've been listening for the last 5-6 months.
All right. I've been saying way worse. You ain't say nothing, but now I say Cro-Magnon Man, you get all bent out.
I've been called worse. Ain't no big deal. I've been called worse.
Okay. All right. Well, for those of you who don't know, this is one of my other co-hosts, Mr. J, calling in from Transylvania or somewhere.
Nah, I'm a little bit further west from that.
All right.
I'm on the road right now. What's up?
Oh, well, you know, I'm talking about there's a chance for you to get in outer space. You ready to go to the moon, sir?
Not even thinking about it.
All right. See, there you go. You just want to just be... During the apocalypse, you ain't even thinking big. You can get to the moon.
Man, if it's an apocalypse, we all going down one way or the other. There ain't even chancing trying to go to the moon. Who's to say you get up there and you can't get back?
Oh, you're not coming back.
Well, that's why I ain't going.
Wait, hold on. What you mean you ain't coming back?
Okay, if it's that easy for anybody to sign up and go, number one, they would lower the cost. So that tells you right there, they only want people who can really afford it. Number two, it ain't that bad down here where I'm ready to go jump and go live on another, you know, another moon or whatever. And ain't nobody been up there long enough to say, hey, it's okay to come up here and live. Nah, give me another 200-300 years.
No, homie, you ain't even listening. It's a mission, a flight mission around the moon, then you come back in 2023. You get picked. 8 people get picked, and you get to fly around the moon. He wants people from all backgrounds. So even Cro-Magnon Man can go.
But like I said, when they price it so that anybody can afford to go, then
it's
I'll
free.
Go.
It's $3.99.
Ain't nothing free. Ain't nothing free.
All
right.
So you're sticking with cash or gas. That's what you're saying?
Say what?
You're sticking with ass, cash, or gas.
There you go.
Nobody ride for free?
There you go.
Okay.
Right. At the end of the day, everybody getting fucked.
Wow. All right.
Anyway,
I mean, you know, I call it like it is. I don't know.
There's no guarantees. Have you seen the last, what, two or three exploration, what do you call them, missiles, whatever, you know, he's building over there? They crashed. They didn't even get up in the atmosphere. They went about 300 feet in the air and came back down and crashed. So I don't want to be the one that gets on this experimental aircraft and we can't even get out the atmosphere and, you know, all of a sudden we lose all power and we come flying back down to Earth at the speed of sound, you know, or the sound of speed, whatever, and we crash. Sorry,
or
not doing
just
it.
Disintegrate in midair.
Well, if we even get to that point.
Yeah.
All right, well. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. J, Mr. Positivity. So
well, I don't hear you signing up.
What? I look into it. I don't care. If I had a chance to go to the moon and fly around the moon for free, I'd take it.
Well,
and you go.
I was gonna say, then sign up and tell us about it when you get back.
There you go.
Okay.
Send me a postcard.
It's in 2023. One, two.
Send me a postcard.
If I got picked, I would take a picture butt naked on the ship and post.
Well, we don't see. There you go already. There you go.
Yeah.
Getting ready to get naked in the ship. Nobody asked for all that. That
anyway.
Is, I mean, just send a postcard. That's all I'm saying.
Look, postcard.
Yeah.
From space.
If they got it's probably somebody up there probably hawking souvenirs already.
I say never
know.
Post about it when you get back.
All right. So you know what? We just
post pictures on the site.
That's if the Earth is still here in 2023.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
But you just going there.
Nothing is guaranteed from day to day, moment to moment. Even though we got the orange guy out of office, we still don't know what's going on.
All right.
You got to take you have to enjoy each moment as it's given to you because you never know beyond the next moment what's going to happen. We could end this radio program today and tomorrow. We could be in chaos worse than what we are. We could be literally in World War III.
All right.
The CDC has things that you need to do to prepare for a zombie apocalypse. So, yeah.
Well, see, how do we know that would even be effective? Because we've never had a zombie apocalypse. So how do they know what they're talking about?
Well, they compare it to an earthquake.
We're talking
there
zombies,
was no weapons
which are basically
there,
we're talking
there was
zombies,
no weapons
which
on
means
that list.
Well, but we're talking zombies, which means we're talking like basically dead people, you know, coming back to life and roaming the earth. So this isn't like a war or anything. It's just how do we kill the dead people and how do we survive?
No, there was no weapons. They had a first aid kit on there though.
Okay, but still, okay. How are we what's the first aid kit going to do if one of these so-called zombies scratches us or bites us or something?
Or bite us? Well, that's, I don't know.
How do we know that? How do we know that first aid kit is going to even work? They've never made, they
we
don't
don't
have any medicine. Okay, so why would we even take their word against anybody?
Just why is it posted?
Are we arguing about the zombie apocalypse?
No, we're not. I'm just making a point that we can, you know, when it comes to things like zombie apocalypse, the CDC is not who I want to go to for any information. Not unless they can show me that, okay, because this particular dead person bit or scratched you, there's a high possibility that, like, in the course of, like, 10 hours, you'll have some type of flesh-eating disease, and you need to do this.
I'm going to just suggest this. I'm going to say if someone, your neighbor or anybody, is trying to bite you, stab them in the head.
How do we know that'll kill them if they're already dead?
We talking about the brain function. So stab them in the head. Or
if they're dead already, they don't even. They're dead already, they don't even know that they're dead. So their brains are obviously already not functioning.
See, you are a fantasy root of destroyer.
How am I a destroyer?
You destroying? Look, man, if I can't kill them and there's no hope, your story is kind of like, so that's just it. The zombie apocalypse happened. Just lay down and let
you didn't watch it. You didn't watch any of The Walking Dead, did you? They tried shooting them in the head. It didn't work. They tried shooting them in the heart. It didn't work.
I said cut the head off.
So
but if you don't have
do
any weapons.
Because I didn't watch The Walking Dead, so what did they do?
I mean, it was multiple hits.
Yeah.
Until they got close enough to them.
They shot him in the head.
I did see the zombie thing with Woody Harrelson, though. That was a good movie.
Okay.
The first and the second.
All right. So we just talking the zombie apocalypse. You know what? We gonna move on from the zombie apocalypse.
You don't want all off script. Try to get back
I'm
on script,
even
man.
Off script. I'm not even off script. I'm listening to y'all debate how to kill hypothetical creatures.
I'm going to stay alive as long as I can until I meet my demise. And then when I do, best believe I'm going to have a few grenades on me. So I'm taking a few people with me.
Grenades.
Yeah, okay. You know, I'm blowing up. You're not going to get me you ain't going to get me in my sleep. You're not going to get me running down some wooded path and all of a sudden, like in the movies, I just accidentally fall and can't get up. No,
right.
You're going to have to come at. You're going to have to get me.
So you know you're ruining your dating prospects, right?
I'm ruining my dating process.
I got grenades at the house. I'm just saying,
if we are in a apocalypse or whatever you call it, and we're fighting for our lives, there's going to be, if not a military installation, there's going to be a couple of police departments where at one point or another, they're all going to be out fighting, you know, trying to, restore order. And I'm breaking in someplace and I'm stealing me some grenades. It can happen.
All right. Okay. You know what?
Well, one of these gun shops, you know, they sell them too.
All right. So let me ask you this. We since you talking about breaking in places and all this other stuff. All right. So, and this is for both of y'all. So there was a little flack that this pastor got. Pastor Stuart Allen Clark, he took a leave of absence after delivering the sermon telling women to lose weight and submit to the sexual desires of their husbands to keep them from straying.
Keep them from what?
From straying.
Straying, from cheating, from
and
having
who, and
affairs.
Who, okay, so who are they submitting to?
Their husbands.
Their husbands. The wives are submitting to their husbands.
What if these women aren't married or some of them aren't married?
Well, he's not talking to them. He's talking to wives.
Okay, but what if you got a defiant wife? What if she's the alpha in the marriage?
Okay.
Then she needs to learn to submit.
If she's the alpha, I seriously doubt she will, but okay.
Well, then her husband is going to cheat on her then. That's what he's saying.
Is that what you're saying?
Well,
what I'm saying, the minister, the reverend is saying
Alan,
that.
Alan Clark.
Well, Smooth, you know I don't submit to anything that comes out of church is already highly suspect. But in this case, I let people live their lives. I can't tell a married couple what to do regarding that because.
Well,
you know.
I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say this. I think this is a real easy one. Men, fuck your wives. Women, fuck your husbands. The world would be a better place.
Okay.
But
so.
Okay.
And it's not about telling married people what to do. It's just a matter of opinion. And in my opinion, person is going to do what they're going to do regardless of what you do.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I mean, the woman
so
could be
I
totally
submit
into the
to
submission
my husband.
Thing.
I can lose the weight and submit to my husband. That does not guarantee that he will not be attracted to someone else.
Or she,
right.
or the flip.
We're not talking about he.
Let me finish.
Wives submit to their husband.
Okay.
He's
now
not saying husbands do this or do that.
Okay, but what I'm
He's
saying
not asking
is,
husbands
let's
to do
say
anything.
She does that. She submits. She does what she's supposed to
yeah.
do. And she's not satisfied. So then what? That's going to cause her to go out
this is the issue with what he's saying. He's not concerned with the woman. He's saying what the woman needs to do to keep her man, not what the man needs to do or what they need to do. He's specifically saying what a wife needs to do to keep her
right.
husband.
I interject by saying he's not wrong.
He's not wrong, but he omitted
the part. So yes. So and this is the weird thing that I've always thought. Like, so you get married and now I don't have to take care of myself. I don't care. I'm gonna let myself go. I don't want to be beautiful. I don't want to aspire to be the best person I can be because I got somebody. That doesn't make sense. On either side.
And see, I don't think people go into marriage thinking that. I think everybody thinks that when they get married, they're going to live happily ever after, because that's where the term comes from. They got married and lived happily ever after.
Maybe 50, 60, 70 years ago, but, you know.
Were they happy?
No, I think some people still believe in that fairy tale. So,
right.
I mean,
well,
I'm not even concerned about percentages.
You said
there's nothing wrong with it.
When you do it, you assume it's just going to happen. You don't think about the work that it entails to be happily ever after.
So what I'm arguing, and this is my point, I'm saying I get it, but what I don't get is the whole I let myself go part. I'm like, why?
And I don't think people intentionally let themselves go. I just don't think that it's an intention.
They do.
No, but it's not an intention. So
I
think because life happens.
I think people get comfortable to the point where they may overlook or neglect their own self-care. I think that's what happened. I don't think anybody intentionally or purposely says, okay, well, when I married her, I was 180. Let me see if I can get all the way up to, like, 250. No. I don't think she decides if she came into the marriage at 130, she wants to go to 180. I think they just truly get overwhelmed with other things in life, and they just forget to take care of themselves.
All right, so comfortable, you can be comfortable and still take care of yourself. Because I think that's the part I'm talking about is love. And when I talk about love, not only the love for your partner, but still looking in the mirror. You look in the mirror and you don't love what you see. It's like you got to do something about that.
And again, I say some people get comfortable with certain aspects of their life. And if it comes down to their physical form, they may think that, okay, they gained an extra 30, 40 pounds, maybe in their gut, their butt, or wherever. And to them, it may not be as much as they may not have gained as much as they think they do until somebody, other people in their lives, like, bring it up.
Okay.
Or if he never complains. Let's just say they never complain.
Yeah,
or
they never complain.
It's just not an issue.
All right. Well, so.
I mean because
pray,
everybody.
Okay, number
can,
one, pray. You
I mean,
really
whether you're married
anything.
Or single. Whether you're married or single, you gain weight. There's, I mean, unless you are, like, very physically
Fred, you,
active.
But Fred,
everybody
you can't
gains weight.
Fred, you can't say anything because you're, like, what, bone thin? I mean, what is the percentage of body fat that you have? No, I'm being real honest. I'm being real honest. In the last 10 years, how much weight have you gained?
You gonna do that?
I know for fact.
I know for fact right now.
Right.
So, Fred,
hear me out.
Can I answer the question?
Go ahead.
I'm gonna answer the question. So I'm gonna say it. So there was a point when we met where I was really. You know, I was still balling. I was playing live ball then. And so I decided.
So you were physically active, and you were athletic. Your shape was athletic.
At that point, that I wanted to get bigger, and so I lifted weights, and I got up to 215 pounds, and decided it was too much.
That must have been after I went back to L.A.
That was the beginning right there. And so I stopped and I went back, and now I'm at my regular weight of 200. I go between 200 and 205.
Well, that's not bone thin.
Well, it's bone thin to me because haven't seen 205 since, what, 014. My weight fluctuates between the biggest I got was like 238, 240. I'm down to 220 now. So,
all right.
I haven't seen anything under that, and that
just goes to show you, though, and they're single men. So it's not like you guys, because when you're in a relationship, because both of you guys have been, and you have that, what is that called? The freshman five when you are freshman 10 when you go, first go to college, and you gain 5 or 10 pounds or 20.
Everybody gains
but
weight when they go to college.
Exactly. But then you also gain weight when you're in a relationship. So, I mean, whether you're married or not,
you
gain
weight
when you're
I do get
comfortable.
When you're in a marriage, especially the husband and the wife, maybe not at the same time, but you both gain weight. The only way a woman, in my opinion, won't gain the weight that she would normally gain is if she doesn't have children, because she don't have to worry about losing that afterbirth.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about losing that.
All right. So
yeah, and then also I guess apparently, Mr. F to N word, it's your metabolism or your genes.
That could be it too, right?
Because it could just be in your genes that you're not a big man.
Basketball.
I mean, you know.
It was all basketball.
Yeah, but I'm just saying though, it can also be gene related. So if you come from a family of petite kind
of
people, then most likely you aren't going to be big.
I got a lot of fat bastards in my family, so I don't know.
Okay.
On which side?
On both. I ain't calling
I'm
no
just
names.
Saying, though, you have to factor in all of it, though. You can't just factor in
I know.
Letting yourself go, because if you come from a family that, you know, is, I guess, average size, then, you know, maybe you might gain a little bit more or a little bit less. But everybody's metabolism and BMI and all that stuff is different. So,
okay. Well, real quick, I just want to do the dumbass of the week real quick.
Is that your sound effect machine?
Yeah, don't hate. Stop hating.
I'm not hating. I'm just here to hate.
Well,
anyway.
I was going to say, you know what, though, Mr. J, don't come on here acting brand new.
Hey, I'll be belching on radio live. That's him.
We ain't talking about you.
Oh, my goodness.
I could have recorded you farting all the time, but no, did I do it? No.
But go yeah, ahead, but when
Mr.
I was
J.
on, what
Mr.
I've never
J. you know how this rolls. So
let it okay, but see,
week.
Well, okay, but
hey,
I, okay,
up,
let me just say
yeah.
this.
All right.
Let me just say this. When I was on the radio more constantly,
yeah.
If and when I said anything that some may deem repulsive, you never heard me belch on the air purposely, and I damn sure
nobody
ain't never passed
that.
Gas on the air.
That's
what I asked him. I said, was that him or was that a sound effect machine?
You said you've been listening off and on for the last few months. So you already know he's not going to sound like that at every show.
Well, no, you know. Well, look, you see Fred,
right.
And
so,
I see Fred in two different
so,
ways.
So Mr. After N Word is trying to do the dumbass of the week. Can I do
oh,
it?
You,
can
yeah,
I do
you
it?
Can do it.
I can do it. You sure?
It's your show.
Okay.
Do it.
All right. Oh. So Richard Barnett, remember the dude that took the picture on Nancy Pelosi's at the desk, chilling,
yeah.
Beat up? You know, he's upset because he's still in jail. He's like, y'all keep pushing my thing back. I don't want to be in jail another month.
Well, see, a quick response to that. Poor timing on his part and everybody else involved, because everybody that was caught, and now they're, you know, they've been arrested, and if they're still locked up for whatever reason, it's a new administration. They can keep your ass in jail for as long as possible because there's nothing the orange man or the Republican crew can do about it.
Okay.
Plain and simple. Ain't nothing they can, you know.
He says it's unfair, though. It's unfair.
Why?
Because I'm behind bars.
Well, everybody
okay,
else probably and. Has gotten out.
Not everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody else
still
is out.
Yeah.
Not
well,
all.
He
of them.
Says everybody. He thinks everybody is out but him.
Well, even if he's the last one in, the point is,
good for
out
you.
Of all those that were caught, I think like most of them at this point now, when they were like interviewed or whatever, or they're home and they still have somewhat of a platform, they all feel as though the whole, like Trump and everybody turned against them. Like, you know, they regret what they did. But now it's a little bit too late because for those that are out on bail or whatever, when they do go to trial and basically they'll be found guilty, I don't know if they'll get any time, but they've been made a fool of.
Yeah,
they don't know what to think now.
They were being caught. They were caught. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
So now they want to be let out. You know, he wants to be let out and he feels like everything's unfair and everybody's probably picking on him. Why? We all know that had that been Obama or even Biden and they tried to take, you know, the Senate or the White House or something, it would have been totally different. So let's just move on. Give him what he deserves and let's just move on.
We're going to take your words and we're going to go on a break. This is Pusha T. Numbers on the board.
How you feeling? You feel all right?
I'm so bossy, bitch, get off me. It's a different jingle when you hear these car keys. Your SL's missing an S, nigga. Your plane's missing a chef. The common team, see they both got wings. If you fly, do it to death. It's only one God and it's only one crown. So it's only one king that can stand on this mound. King push, kingpin, overlord. Coast guard, come a hundred, going overboard. I got money with the rest of them. Go blow for blow with any Mexican. Don't let your side bitches settle in. Might have got the head, but you ever land. Ballers, I put numbers on the board. Hard to get a handle on this double-edged sword. Whether rapping or I'm rapping to a whore, might reach back and relapse the wrapping up his raw. Javante sitting like his gym clothes. We really gym stars. I'm like D-Rose, no D-League. I'm like these clothes. 88 Jordan leaping from the free throw. Ballers, I put numbers on the board. Ballers, I put numbers on the board.
Motherfuckers can't rhyme no more. I'll cry no more.
Mix drug and show money. Big Burke on tour. 25 bricks move work like Shore. Hit Delaware twice, needed 25 more. I see flaw, cracks in your diamond. CB4 when you rhyme, Simple Simon. Come and meet the pieman. A mustard I flaunt it. The legend grows legs when it comes back to haunt us. Ballers, I put numbers on the board. Tina bitch living, say I bought a Michael Kors. Every car driven was decided by the horse. Keep the sticker in the window case you wonder what it costs. How could you relate when you ain't never been great? And rely on rap money to keep food upon your plate, nigga. I might sell a brick on my birthday. 36 years of doing dirt like it's Earth Day. God. Ballers, I put numbers on the board.
Y'all feel like that?
Together you got the smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Pusha T, Numbers on the Board. Our call-in number is 347-826-7435. 347-826-7435.
All right. So, since we talking, we gonna drop it on the table. All right. So, it's been a lot of stuff that's happened. You know, we're in the middle of the apocalypse. Supposedly, there's light at the end of the tunnel here. Supposedly, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and we're supposed to be getting back to normal. I saw something that had me cracking up, and it was a transgender inmate was placed in the cell with a convicted rapist and was sexually assaulted. I thought it was hilarious because it's a lawsuit, and the lawsuit is, you know, as Jane Doe, they're saying that, hey, you put me in the jail cell with a convicted rapist. It's like, yeah, that's why they're in jail. Because they did some crimes, so you got your choice, convicted rapist or murderer. Sometimes both.
Exactly. Like, what were they expecting to be put in the jail cell with? Maybe a shoplifter?
Oh, I'm not defending him, but at the very least, I mean, if he knew, you know, whatever he did to get put in jail, I don't think he was anticipating getting rapped. I mean, raped.
Hold on, Mr. J.
What?
Going to jail is a get raped card. Like, you know, there's get out of jail free card in Monopoly. There's a get raped card, and that's the card that you get when you go into jail.
I've had a little bit of experience in it.
Okay.
If you're going to jail, meaning city jail. Or even, for the most part, county jail. Really, nothing happens. I mean, if anything, yeah, you got to, you know, stand up for yourself and shit like that. But the rapes don't happen until you go to prison.
Yeah.
Just to correct.
Were they in prison or were they in jail then?
Jail.
Were they
is
in prison
different.
Or jail?
We're
well, I know that, but I'm assuming
no,
that
I'm
he
telling
was in
him.
Prison.
If he was in prison, yeah, I mean.
I'm aware.
Well, I'm saying if he was in prison, yeah, I mean, there's always the possibility of that going down. But all
she,
I'm saying is that.
She is trans.
Well, she, whatever. Even in a woman's prison, even in a woman's
no,
prison or a woman's
in a
jail.
Prison. In a man's prison, they turned female. They said they're female. They should have been put in female jail.
Well, okay. Let me try to explain it to you like this.
Break it down for
when
me, brother.
I'm going to. Even in state prison or state prison system, or most prison systems across this country, they when it comes to transgender, depending on what you were before, when you were born, even if you switched over to the other side, it's how they identify you. If you committed a crime and go to jail. So whatever his sexuality or his gender was before, when he was, before all this happened, that's the reason why he is where he was, and that's pretty much why he got raped.
I'm aware of that. See, all I'm saying is this. In jail, prison, whatever, rape is a rite of passage. It's kind of expected. You're going to get raped if you go to prison, jail, lockup, you want to call it. So now, what I think is funny, and this is why I'm following this and even talking about it, is the fact that rape is a concern now when trans individuals go to prison. It wasn't a concern before. I think we all kind of had a clue. You've heard people who say, yeah, there's some stuff that happens. I mean, people have seen some movies. We've seen some stuff, but generally speaking, everybody knows you go to jail. Yeah, you might get that visit. It's 99.9%
I was going to say, it's a 90% chance. I mean,
it's probably a 99% chance.
I'm sure it's a 99% chance, but at the same time, when you commit a crime, you don't get to pick and choose where, can I go with the least offensive people? The people with low offenses are the,
right.
They're all mixed together.
Not unless you cut a deal with the government and they send you to a federal prison.
Right.
So
basically they're saying, well, hey, who stole the Snickers and is in prison? That's who I want to share cell with.
Exactly. And, the thing about that is, whether it was a convicted rapist or not in that cell, he could have gotten, or she could have gotten raped by anybody that was in their cell.
Because according to them, it's not rape. It's doing what I got to do.
Yeah. Well,
I would know all that, but okay.
I'm just saying. That's what they say. That's what they say. Speaking of rape and abuses, they have passed the convicted stalkers and abusers. They're pushing this bill that would prevent the stalkers and abusers from buying or owning guns. It's closing the so-called boyfriend loopholes that leave many victims of domestic abuse vulnerable to further violence from current or former partners.
And that is only going to affect those that are of color, because the white boys will still be able to get access to a gun.
Well, everybody get access to a gun on the street.
Not on the same level as a black convicted, abuser or stalker.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I'm being real.
It depends on who you know. Because right now, I can make a call, I can get it done.
Are you an abuser or a stalker?
No, but the point is,
you don't count.
Yeah, but actually, that's the point. You can get a gun.
Well, yeah, we can. I'm sure we can all find the guns. But what I'm saying is, when it comes to that particular demographic, abusers and stalkers, white abusers would have access to those guns, even if there were laws against them getting them. They would have access to that before a black male would.
Well, either way, they're trying to pass the law where you can't legally own a gun. Now, we know illegally, yes, everybody can have a gun. My shit ain't registered. Doesn't matter. You can get a gun, and then you can go buy ammo and do your thing. Doesn't matter. But this is for those legal abusers. You know, I can't help but beat on my woman. I can't have a gun and shoot her. And, you know, for the people who argue, oh, they're trying to take away Second Amendment things, it's not an issue, because in Japan, and this is really funny, in Japan, they're actually, because they have gun control laws, but right now, they're considering passing the law to outlaw crossbows, because people aren't getting shot in Japan. They're just getting crossbowed to death. It's like they're finding multiple people with crossbows in their head. It's kind of funny.
Wow.
I was like, wow.
You have a very sick sense of humor, but okay.
I'm serious.
The fact that you're laughing because people are getting crossbowed, that just says a lot.
No, it just shows that there are sick people out there, and it doesn't matter. And so I would be for no guns if you know, because I'm a mentor. Right. And so I'm a mentor at my school for a black student union. And I've heard stories about kids talking about my cousin, a fifth grader, getting shot by stray bullets when these idiots are shooting at each other. And I got a kid who got his cousin, he's sitting on the couch, they playing video games, got shot in the leg. Fifth grader. I don't think that would happen with crossbows.
Well, apparently it wouldn't, because when the cops get there and they, you know, they're looking for fingerprints or whatever, they see the bow stuck in the person's leg or maybe stuck in the wall, they can get partials from them. They can get partial fingerprints.
Okay.
That would be too easy.
I think that they probably would use gloves.
Nah, they ain't too smart.
Well, that's true. But they probably didn't learn how to.
Or even if they were using gloves, even when they were using gloves, I'm just saying, when they were, before they're going out to get their target or whatever, somewhere along the line between the purchase of the bow and the arrow, they've touched that arrow without a glove on.
Okay. All right, well,
we're not talking about rocket scientists here.
Yeah, I agree. And for me. I have zero love for those individuals who, one, as my uncle would always say, I wish they would learn to aim right so that at least they would shoot each other.
Yeah.
It sounds bad. I'm just saying, but if y'all gonna be ignorant, kill each other. Don't harm innocent folks in your foolishness. As I'm tired of talking and hearing about these stories where little kids is getting shot. These idiots. They're just like the Klan to me.
They're really just doing the work of the Klan, basically. But they don't see it that way.
Yes, but I don't see a difference. That's all I'm saying. I'm tired of hearing these stories. It is appalling. But there was also, since we talking about appalling. There's also they passed a bill supposedly to making it illegal for federal officers to engage in sex acts with defendants. And
when was it legal?
Oh, well, there was a consent loophole. So,
that's got to be some grandfathered from back in the like early 1900s or maybe the late 1800s.
No. This was something. There's a law enforcement consent loophole, and it's been there for a while. I mean, it was an issue.
That's what
here.
I'm saying. It had to been there like early 1900s or late 1800s. Like a lot of laws are that we're not even aware of, because for them to go back and make a law saying that it's illegal. Someone had to look up. Someone had to take the time to look it up to see if it was legal or not.
Well, I know that here, and it was a story that we talked about here in Bay Area. There was police officers who were having sex with different people that they detained, and they, you know, they would say, well, it was consensual, and I'm like, well, if you're locked up in handcuffs. And it's not role play. Yeah, that's probably something
not
different.
And it probably was a lot of white cops that was like, "Well, it's our word against theirs anyway." So.
Well, here in the Bay Area, it was a mixture of lots of different people.
Yeah.
Right, but
it
I'm
was
saying
a lot
like,
of it was
some,
an international.
Well, what I'm saying is like prior to it becoming a more inclusive, everybody gets down. At one point, you know, when it was just all white police force or all white guards, they started it.
Okay, but guess what? We've caught up. We have caught
by
up.
By choice.
Yeah, by choice, right. So this is making it illegal to engage in sex acts with people that are in your custody. I would hope. Now, it passed. Through the House, but now it's going through the Senate, because it also is getting rid of the immunity that they have.
Okay.
So, yeah, their immunity that they all claim, you know, and it's something that federal employees have this immunity. They're trying to get rid of that. I don't think that one's going to pass, because it has the implications of making people who are predisposed to being rapey, they have to be on their P's and Q's. I don't know if they're down for that one. So their immunity would go away. Their limited immunity would go away. So we'll be keeping an eye on that one. It is the Law Enforcement Consent Loophole Act. It was created by Representative Jackie Speier here in California.
Good luck.
Yeah. I hope it passes. I hope
there's
it does.
Always going to be some pushback from somebody, and the people that push back, those are the people, you know, showing their true colors. Like, they still want it to be legal.
Like, hey, but what about me though? I get hit on by a lot of chicks in handcuffs. I mean,
well, if you into that kind of thing, then you know, they don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's not the role play kind. It's just the, hey, look here. Let me help you help yourself. I'm guessing that's how.
Well, if a female cop or guard is hitting on you, I'm pretty certain that for the most part, she's probably not ugly, and she's probably like either testing you to see what you're going to do, or she's just letting you know that whenever you're ready, she's there for you.
Okay.
Now, if she's more like on the butch side, then your best bet is to do whatever it is she say
Okay. You know?
Wow. I'm just being honest. I mean.
So the female cop is hitting on you, the butch cop is hitting on you. You gonna hit that to get
it? We'll put it this way, because they still technically have the gun at their hip if it's a cop.
Uh-huh.
So unless they quick with the hands, or, you know, quick with their hand to get to the gun and pull the trigger, I'm gonna do what I gotta do to get away from that situation. Especially if it's the butch dykish looking cop. You know, if I gotta beat her down and get her baton and beat her with the baton, then I'm gonna do it. If I can run away and get away from her, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this, Mr. J, in all seriousness.
What?
We've seen the videos of people trying to run away.
Well, from what I understand, and this is just a known fact, women cops, I don't care what their sexual orientation is, but female cops and guards are less prone to violence or pulling their weapon than male cops. So you got a better chance of getting away or doing whatever you got to do with a female cop or female guard than you do with a male cop.
Wow.
That's just a known fact.
That's a known fact.
That's a known fact, yeah. You very rarely hear, I mean, seriously, when it comes to cops, you very rarely hear of a female cop shooting anybody.
Okay. Except for a homegirl that broke into dude's house that thought it was his house.
Well, shit, that was on some other shit. She was already high or whatever.
Okay.
That was on some other shit.
I'm just saying, that kind of happened.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I would never take, I mean, because it caused his death, but I'm just saying, he's an anomaly.
Or the brother that was, I think it was Castile, the brother that was, his car broke down and the female cop shot him.
Yeah, I mean, that was, okay, but again, I'm not even going to talk about the chick that killed the dude down in Texas, but the cop that shot the guy. No, I'm just saying because she was on, I'm talking about when she was on duty. So
yeah,
for that to happen was really unfortunate. And there was no drugs, and she panicked and just shot him. That other situation down in Texas, that woman was straight up high, drunk or whatever it was, and I don't know how she mistaken her apartment for somebody else. You know, come on now. There were so many holes in that story.
They were more than likely hitting it. And she got mad. You gonna hit this pussy tonight? No, I'm not. You gotta die. But
I mean, there was another story to that, but nobody wants to even delve into it. But okay,
there's nothing to delve into. She was wrong, and a man's dead.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, now we're gonna go into the hater of the week.
Hate. I hate you.
All right, so hater of the week are the individuals who, in Oklahoma, the ambulance people stopped at a house, and while they're treating the person and getting them ready to get them into the ambulance, somebody stole the ambulance.
Where's the hate in that?
Homie died.
Okay, but that's not really
the
hate.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, that's not really hate. That's just stupidity. I mean, I've heard of him.
Really?
Shit, that happens. That happens out here all the time. So that's, you know.
Oh, wow.
All
right.
Now, unless
they're
it was a situation.
When you know the ambulance is there because somebody is in trouble.
Okay, no, let me paint a picture for you, which is an actual story. Hate is when a black family calls 911 in duress because the father, the head of the house, I guess it's the father, was having a heart attack. The family, the rescue company or whatever, the ambulance gets there, realizes that these people are black because the section of town that they were, where the address was located, was basically in a gated community.
Okay.
So, when they get there and they realize that these people were black, the rescue workers purposely took their time pulling their equipment from the vehicle, you know, to assist the gentleman having the heart attack. The long end of the story was, by the time they got him up on the gurney and into the hospital, he was already dead.
Right.
Now,
so
where the hate comes in is that
where is the hate?
It was later found out, it was when they went to court and everything, basically they were ruled, you know, the ambulance company was ruled guilty of bias or whatever, and they were sued, and they lost, and that particular company lost their license, the whole nine. The hate comes from, had it been a white family, they would have, you know, that man would have got to the hospital and would have survived the incident with no problem.
All right, so I'm going to reiterate an interpretation of hate. If the ambulance shows up in front of somebody's house and they go in to get that person and you take the ambulance, you are hating because you know, everybody knows the ambulance is not there because they stopping for a bathroom break.
Okay, but okay, and I'm not,
because somebody is in distress.
Okay, I'm not defending. I'm not.
Guess what? More than likely, that person that is in distress is going to die. So you are a hater.
And I'm not defending the person who. I'm not defending the person who.
Well,
put it this way. I don't consider that hate. I just think that that was foolish, and I think it was stupid on the part of the person who stole the ambulance, because he was just probably doing it just for the fun of stealing the ambulance.
Okay, well we're gonna agree to disagree. Cause guess what?
Okay.
I think you're a hater if you steal the ambulance when you know that they just went in. Cause you obviously were looking. They went in. It's an ambulance. The lights are flashing. Somebody is dying or
did they catch the
really,
guy?
Really bad.
Did they
no,
catch
they
the
have
guy?
Not caught them. They're searching.
I guarantee you, if and whenever they catch him, if he decides to tell his side of the story, I guarantee you he's not going to say that he hates the first aid squad. I guarantee you he's probably going to say he was doing it for fun.
What did that have to do with it? That makes you a hater.
You're saying it was done out of hate, and I'm telling you that unless he says, I stole it just to be stealing it, no, he'll probably say,
I don't think it was done.
It's not that
he's saying that he's hate. It's like when you say somebody is hating on you, it's not necessarily I have hate for you. It's not like malice, hate. It's just like he's a hater. He's seeing something that's happening and he's intervening in that has nothing to do with him.
I get what you're saying, but I just.
It is a hating ass act. Every day,
okay.
All day.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
That was it. Please don't steal the ambulance.
You searched all the news, the news of the day for that one item.
Yep.
I'm hating you for doing that. I'm hating you for that one now.
He took and it took him like a whole. It took him a whole 45 minutes to do it too.
I know. That's how I roll. I look for hate.
I know.
Well, you got to roll a little bit better because your wheels are squeaking now.
Okay, but guess what? I got some 3-in-1 oil, homie, and some WD-40.
Okay,
because that one was. You got to come a little bit better than that because that one was like,
But when somebody dies, because when you say, you're laughing about crossbows and people dying, but somebody still in the ambulance and people die, no, that's just stupid. It's not hateful. Okay.
I just said you have a sick sense of humor.
I actually don't. On that note, we're going to go on break. This is Sally, BCG. MMG.
I just be laughing at these haters. My laugh is like. My laugh sound like.
black music.
Drag racing, left the game behind me. I'm zooming on these niggas and I don't see nobody. There's no competition and I told you niggas I'd be back to put it down. Now I'm back with the crown. Crooked seat with the pins on it. My kids like the pins on it. From the pins blowing and I keep blowing. I ain't tips on. I'm stomping. And them black boots out my. Look at the itch they stop. Made an honest man straight heartless. Worth the knobby ski mask. Someone pass me the mark block. I got something to say, boy. Real intelligent itch shirt. Something niggas are paid for. Got filth under my nails. So I ain't trying to be no playboy. Or tell you nothing I ain't, boy. Yeah, I ain't for that dumb itch. Yeah, I aim at the nugget. Open that rat hole and I plug it. Just my shit slow and I plug it. Now these lame ass niggas, they love it. I dug it for you and you. Put it together like two and two. BCG, MMG. Yeah, that be my only cook.
Drag racing, haters all behind me. Niggas mad at me cause my chrome wheel shiny. Flag hanging, bosses moving silent. The money came slow, then I started vibing. Bumping Tila, nigga, I'm so tired of falling. My new crib got four fucking waterfalls in it. Behind the double doors, it look like it's a mall in it. Fuck a good, bend over, then I fall in it. Pair of Chuck Taylors, I rarely call tennis. All is over quarter. And they all minutes. From a nickel rock to Louis Vuitton's on mini blocks. Public transportation, now Lamborghinis on Rick and Boxer. Still under surveillance. Look over you haters. Right back to this money. I get with you later. I'm stacking this money. Can't do you no favors. I'm fucking with Stanley. We still on the pavement.
With your host, Mr. F the N Word, and Miss Brown Sugar, and Mr. J. That was Mad Sally. BCG, MMG. 347-826-7435 is the call in number. Once again, that call in number is 347-826-7435. All right. So, what you got hanging up in your window, Mr. J?
Oh, he caught me off guard because I was going to say something else. But, man, I'm still in rehab, so I'm just rehabbing.
Okay. All right. So what about you, Brown Sugar? What you got hanging up
in my window?
Your window?
Nothing. Nothing right now. I usually, decorate for the holidays, but there's no holidays.
No curtains,
nothing?
Oh, one of my windows,
blinds.
I got an old mistletoe.
Oh, see? You have something. I have blinds,
in the
yeah.
Huh?
In the window.
Yeah, I never took it down.
Okay.
You don't think the mistletoe would be better served somewhere else?
Man, this thing is all dried up and please. I'm sure people don't even recognize it as being a mistletoe anymore. It's just probably just sticks. Like, why has he got sticks hanging from the window?
All right. Well, I was going to say, this is actually a Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day is like February 1st, ain't it?
No, Groundhog Day is every show.
It can be every day too.
Pretty much every day. Something that just don't make sense. So,
and
it has to be
going
over
on.
And over again.
Right. So, a prosecutor declined to file charges against a suburban Detroit man who displayed a KKK flag in his window next to the home of a black family, saying the horrible conduct doesn't violate Michigan law. Now,
well,
I can't really argue that.
Yeah, I mean, if it's law and it's
just
a flag.
I would say if your neighbor puts a KKK flag in the window facing towards your house, I think that you probably should put up a flag of a gun to the KKK head. We gonna play the flag game. That's how I would play the flag game.
Well, I mean, if somebody put a flag up, you know, one of those flags up in the window.
To the window,
like,
to the walls.
You know, I mean, there's ways you can deal with it. Me, I'd probably get out a high-powered BB gun and just every day take target practice at it. Pew, 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 pew.
Okay.
See, stuff like that don't bother me, you know? It really don't. Because that just goes, I mean, it just shows their ignorance, but, you know, they can fly whatever flag they want. So what I would probably do is I'd have my red, black, and green flag up. I'd probably have, like, a public enemy flag up. I'd have every flag that I could think of that would show my pro-blackness and that would totally just irritate him to the point where, you know,
I would pay somebody or just do it myself. Photoshop a picture. You get the Klansman's head. You get the, you know, with this little thing on, their little mask on. And I have the gun, the black hand with the gun. And that'll be it. Right next to the Klansman's head. That's my flag. That's a great flag, actually.
Well, I mean, nowadays they're I don't want to say they're like out in the open about it. Certain things that they do is still kind of, you know, under the radar. They don't really wave flags like that. You just, like, they may get a little sticker on their bumper or something, you know. Sometimes you can even tell by the music that they'll play, like, on Sundays. If everybody else in the neighborhood is playing gospel or whatever, they're playing, like, you know, whatever it is that they, you know, Long Live
Nirvana
or whatever. Yeah. Well, no, I like Nirvana, but, you know, they're playing, like, some shit that
AC/DC.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, probably they'll play it at a high level that you can't even, like, understand the lyrics, but more than likely it's something that, you know, just irritates you.
Yeah.
That's pretty much any death metal for me. So there was a little rage also there in Mississippi. I'm just gonna. I gotta find that Nina Simone song, and I'm just gonna use that for Mississippi every time I have to bring up Mississippi. The teachers there at Purvis Middle School, they had an assignment They asked eighth graders, pretend like you're a slave working on a Mississippi plantation and write a letter to your family back in Africa describing your life. What would you write, Brown Sugar?
Ooh. I probably, as a child, I probably wouldn't have written that. I wouldn't have done it.
I wouldn't have done it
as
either.
As an adult, I probably would have said fuck you. But
as a child, I'm definitely not writing no letters. I'm taking the assignment home, showing my mother, and she would have probably came up the next day and beat the teacher's ass. As an adult, knowing my smart ass, I'd probably, dear cousin Fatu, please don't fall for trick of free trip to America. Not good here. You know, no, but I'm like, I mean, I'd be going to the teacher like, really? I mean, you really? Come on now.
Yeah. That's how they rolling.
Well, I mean, it's just like, again, another form of racism. And you know damn well it's none of the black teachers. They wouldn't do it. So, you know, the white teachers that are still doing it probably don't understand their level of ignorance and just they have no clue. I mean, it's not even a point of trying to get them fired from their job. They just really don't have any clue. They think that what you're doing is okay.
All right. And so for those who are in the chat room, I just actually put in a picture of the slave letter writing activity. So you may discuss the journey to America as well as the day-to-day tasks you perform.
Well, speaking in reference to that, because you brought it up, for those planning on watching the movie Coming to America, it's not worth it. It's really not worth it.
Okay, don't ruin
I'm not
it for people
spoil
who
it.
Want to watch it.
Well,
what
I mean, you're going to try.
You're going to go on.
Okay, but you're going to go on Facebook tomorrow. It's going to be all over the place. I'm just saying.
Well, it's
you
on
to,
Facebook now, and I've been avoiding it. But
well,
don't yuck somebody's yum.
It's too late. I've ruined it.
It sounds like you're happy about
Are you
it.
Mad or are you mad mad?
No,
you
I'm
mad
not mad
or little
at all.
Mad? Oh,
I'm
not
even
mad at all.
I'm waiting my hour and a half for WandaVision. I had no anticipation because I actually know somebody who was on the movie and he said that yeah, it didn't look or sound right. So I thought, yeah, this is a bad idea. And the premise looks sad, and being shocked by the movie not being good, I kind of expected that. So, WandaVision for me, it's the end of the season, so I'm excited about that. Coming to America, no. But what I'm talking about is, once again, you know, Groundhog Day, slave letter writing. So when we talk about, they don't care, they look at it differently. No, they've never changed. That's the reason why it's Groundhog Day, because we still there. It's still, this is like, what about the fifth or sixth Brown Sugar slave assignment?
Yeah.
Somehow
they've been doing it. They did part of it in 2000. They started in 2018, 2019 that we know of. I mean, they probably have been doing it, but nobody was like putting it out there. And
right.
They've just been
if no one is calling the school board or whomever and like calling these teachers or whomever to task, then why even complain? Because that's where, if you're not calling your school board on, you know, if you're not going to a school board meeting and making the big stink of it, then why even complain?
Well, that is.
I'm sure some
point.
People are.
Yeah. That's how it got out. If people weren't complaining, this wouldn't have got out. That's that whole point. And it's like I say to anybody listening, if you want to get involved, you want to help things, it's not electing the president. Electing the president does nothing on your local level. If you have kids in school, you should be on the PTA. I'm just saying, because these are the things that get discussed, curriculum, budget, things that affect your child specifically. Those are important things. So, and the people who say, hey, I don't know, I mean, as a parent, to be involved, it's the same time that you take to get the hair and nails done or to go get a haircut. It's that same time. So it's oh so important to be involved locally in your community, because if not, we're going to keep, as Mr. J say, getting these assignments. I thought it was interesting. And so then there's other things. The other thing that's hilarious right now. It's not hilarious, but the outrage for it is hilarious. The Asian violence. Because all over the country, they're just attacking Asians, right? And for some reason, people are shocked by it. I'm like, the whole Kung Flu and the Asians. And I said it when they got the Asian murder hornet. You knew it was coming. Because right after they say Asian murder hornet, that means it's open season. You Asian, you about to...
What is the Asian murder hornet?
Oh, it's been here. It's been here.
What is it, though?
It's
okay, just like the African killing bee, that's been here.
Exactly. Right. Remember, and that's what I said. Remember when the African killer bee was coming and everybody was shaking in their boots? I ain't going to go outside. I ain't going in my yard or nothing. And then it was like the Asian murder hornet.
And which have both been here, and the scientists apparently have caught one or two. You know, they've gotten a few of them, so they know what they look like, and supposedly they're studying them. But I think just like everything, it's nothing that they weren't aware of now. Whether they knew, say, 5 years or 10 years ago, they were in America. Who knows? But they're here now.
They were coming.
They've been here probably for at least 3 years. What are we doing about it?
Right. Well, that's not the issue. See, right now the issue is, and this is where this is where we talk about the violence in the streets. And so I just sit back, because when it was black folks getting beat in the street, it's not an issue. But now everybody else gets beat in the street, it's an issue. I think that is hypocritical. I don't want anyone to get beat in the street. So
I think with the Asians, because their population in this country is like, what, maybe at most 5 to 9%. They're such a small community. When something happens with them, yeah, I mean, it's not to say that they don't normally get attacked or whatever pre-COVID, but because they are getting attacked and it's happening more randomly, or, you know, it's happening more often, that really sucks. But, okay, now that it's made the big news, you know, what is the government, what is the local government, what is county government, what is state government, what is federal government going to do on top of all the other attacks on blacks and brown people in this country? What are they doing?
Nothing. They don't give a shit.
There you go. So who is it up to for this to stop? The locals. Meaning the Asian community. In my opinion, the Asian community is going to have to come together and do whatever it is which will force city and county and probably state officials to, you know, form these joint committees or whatever it is they do to try and stop it. But it's hate crimes. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, it's normal, but shit, just as much as it's happening now, it'll die down and, you know, people will think that, oh, well, it's over with. It's never going to be over with.
No, see, here's where this the beauty of America. The beauty of America is it is not going to stop because copycats. So, like, remember, killing the killing of black people, it's going to stop. But all we've seen is a rise. When have the police stopped killing black folks? In all kinds of ways. So, and I mean, we talk about the police. The police still, somebody shot somebody the other day. It's like they're not going to stop because it's fashionable. And so the one thing about America, whatever's fashionable, everybody's going to do it. So,
well, it's not that it's fashionable. You got to remember, when they get these recruits, it starts in their training. They're trained to kill. Now, they don't say go out and kill blacks, but they teach you how to kill in training. When they give you the gun, let me finish.
We're
always going to be targets. But what I'm saying is, when they get you in training, and you know, and you're in cadet school, and when you are giving your starter pistol to go to the range and shoot, the first thing they teach you how to do is a head kill. They don't teach you a body shot or a leg shot. They teach you a head kill. The mentality there is when you're out on the street and you run into certain situations, draw first, pull trigger, aim and shoot and kill before you ask questions.
Right. So we know this, and so we're talking about the detached part. And what I'm saying is, because America makes violence fashionable against people who are not from the quote-unquote dominant culture, when they say this, this is like a call to arms. So that's why you've seen the rise of people just, because it's not like they're robbing them. They're just automatically they're just attacking them. I mean, I've seen stuff where they're just, I saw a dude just run up and just hit an Asian guy and then just run off. He ain't robbing him or nothing. And so when you put that in the air, that is what's growing. And that is...
Well, I don't know about on the West Coast, but out here, attacking Asians, but what started out as blaming the Asians or supposedly blaming Chinese people for COVID, they're attacking Asians. Some of these Asians aren't even Chinese. Some of them are Japanese. Some of them ain't even Japanese. Some of them are like, quote-unquote, Filipino.
Right. It's Asian. It doesn't matter. So once again, once you put it out in the air, it's there, and it's going to stay there. And so you talk about what's going to stop it. More than likely, you start shooting folks. So folks only respond. It's the American way. We only respond to violence. There ain't no if.
America was founded on violence.
Right. And it's going to stay violent. That's where we're at. 60
seconds.
And on that note, I want to thank you, Mr. J.
I may show up next week. Who knows?
Okay. All right. Well,
it depends on how I'm feeling.
All right. You're
thank
always
you for
welcome.
Blessing us with your presence.
So for Mr. J.
Put a little bit in the tip jar. Don't forget now.
And for Miss Brown Sugar. This is another Smooth Drama production. I'm Mr. F the N-Word. Y'all want to continue the conversation? We can go to the Smooth Drama chat room at smoothdrama.com. Catch y'all on the flip side. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands up.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. drummer.